The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
The good old days.
Coach, here in Denver, everybody's quite aware of the losing streak. I'm curious how much the winning streak is talked about or are you guys aware of or even care about?
Yeah, somebody asked me about a streak. I'm not really sure what streak we're talking about.
Oh,
yeah,
shut up.
That's Andy Reid.
Shut up, Andy.
You want to hear Big Ben?
No, we're so good. We just beat everybody that we're not even aware that we're on an 11-game streak against the Broncos. 12? No, let's make it no one else.
Here we go, Fangio.
Coach Reid said he wasn't all that aware of the current streak, the 11-game losing streak the Broncos had to the Chiefs, or in their case, the winning streak. Does that matter to you? Is that a point of conversation and motivation?
No.
Here we go!
Next time, you just got to start with a real serious question, and then you got to transition real quick and just say, and do you hate me?
Well, that is the question our own Richie Carney asked on social media, on Twitter, and I'm looking for the latest results. Serious question. Who do you think Vic Fangio hates more, Drew Lock or D-Mac? With over 1,000 votes in.
Oh, we got more.
It's over 1,000 votes.
Okay. Has the tide swung at all?
It has not. Drew Lock 58%, D-Mac 42%.
Wow. He really hates Drew Lock.
He really, really
man,
hates
like,
Drew
really,
Lock.
Really hates. If that's the way that he talks to you, the kind of disdain, I mean, I could practically hear the eye roll. I didn't even see it, but I could hear the eye roll when he's talking to you with the one word response. Can you imagine how he talks to Drew?
Well, you know what's funny about that survey, and I know it's all in good fun.
Coach, do you ever think I could be a good quarterback?
No.
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 No. Yeah, I mean, he's been in the meetings.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
No.
I got it.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No. 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 No.
Oh, my gosh. Vic Fangio.
And he really does hate you, huh?
I think so, yeah.
Let's go through this.
I don't think he has
any. How many years have you been working here?
Me?
Yeah.
April of 2008, so however long that is.
Do you know how many head coaches that's been?
Oh, yeah. It's yeah. Well, everybody since Shanahan. So.
Right, well, yeah, I mean, just do the math. I'm not good at math.
Gosh, I got to think about it. Right. Shanny. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Shanny, VJ.
Yeah. No, you skipped one.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, Josh, of course.
Then you skipped another.
Channy, Josh, Foxy, BJ.
Nope. Skipped one.
I did? Studisville? Are we throwing him in?
Kubiak.
Oh, my God. Wait, let's start again. Channy.
Right.
Josh.
There you go. Kubiak.
BJ. BJ.
Banjo,
and if you want to
enter him in there, Studisville.
I forgot Fox. No, I said Fox, didn't I? Oh, I don't know.
We got to start over.
Let's do it again.
Shanahan?
Yes, we did forget Fox. Shanahan, Josh, Fox.
Okay.
Shanny.
No. Well, you already said Shanny.
No.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah, so try again.
All right, Shanny?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to really do it.
Let's crush this one.
I'm going to really do it.
Hold on. Focus.
Wait, watch.
Now here's
watch.
The deal.
No, I'm going to really
know you.
Get it.
I know you. You're Irish, okay?
Well,
and sometimes you start speaking before you're thinking. I want you to just think this thing through. Am I going to get in trouble for that?
What?
No.
You can't. There's nothing derogatory you can say about Irish people.
Okay, cool.
Please. Shanny. Watch this.
All right.
Josh.
Yeah.
Studisville.
There, yes. Okay. There's three.
Fox.
Really think about it now. You struggle with this one.
Del Rio. Yep.
Wow, we hadn't thought about that one.
Hold on.
There's
Hold
five.
On. Hold on.
Okay.
Special teams coach Joe DeCamillis.
Joe D.
Because Fox got sick twice. There was two times that we had to have fill-in coaches.
All right, so we're at six.
All right, then we're after Fox. Okay. We go to VJ.
Right.
Then we go to our guy Fangio.
Okay. We're at eight. We're at eight.
I have covered, since I started here at The Fan, at one point or another, 8 different head coaches.
Now, we really digressed from where I was headed with that, and it took on a life of its own, which was funny. It was a great life of its own. But going back to the original question about how much Fangio hates you,
yeah.
What I was really going to ask you to do, now your mind's going to really blow.
Yeah, out of those 8.
Out of those 8, right. I want you to rank the coaches that hated you the most.
Kubiak.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Is it because of the hair?
It's a bunch of things.
It's because you said he dyed his hair.
It's that. It's other things, too. It's Kubiak. He's number one, for sure.
Well, I mean, now you got to at least give me, like, a reason or two if he's number one.
It's the hair was one thing. I questioned whether he should play Brock Osweiler while Peyton Manning was 4-0 in 2015 and got destroyed for that.
Okay.
It was, I found out he was coming back here to Denver when he was really on the down low in terms of being a consultant, and I found out he was actually going to be back, and I revealed that on the radio way before anybody knew. I knew that because I was at Big Bad Daddy Burger or whatever down there in the Landmark
area.
You
want to know how I know Kubiak hates you?
Well, and I know that too. Because he's told you.
Because he's told me. I saw Kubiak.
So there's that.
Oh, man. I saw Kubiak at Shanahan's party.
Yeah.
And the first thing he says to me is, "Dang, boy, you work with D-Mac every day? That guy's something else. I tell you what, there's a lot of folks in town here that can't stand that dude."
Yeah. Well, I mean, Elway hates my guts, too. But, that's
all right. So Kubiak's one.
Who would be two? Fangio may be two.
You and Fox were kind of buddy-buddy, right?
Shanny likes me now, for sure. So Shanny's not even on the list.
No, Shanny puts up with you because he likes me.
I've had a relationship.
Let's just make that clear.
I absolutely respect you, but I have my own relationship with Shanny independent of you.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not a close person. He doesn't hate me. I know Shanny doesn't hate me.
Okay.
Foxy and I are I would consider a friend.
You want to know about the background? No?
About who? Shanny?
Yeah.
You want to tell me? You want to break some news to me right now? You want to break my heart?
Do you want to know the background?
Do you want to break my heart?
I don't want to break your heart.
Don't break my heart.
All right, I won't.
I just think, the only two guys that I think really hated me, VJ didn't hate me. I got along fine with VJ.
Good.
Yeah. I got, believe it or not, well, unless you know something about VJ and me, do you know something?
No, I don't know anything about VJ. I don't. I got no inside gossip on that one.
You want to break my heart about Shanny?
No, I really don't. I don't want to do that.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, man, I've always got along well with Mike.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Believe it or not, I always got along well with Josh. Believe it or not.
Oh, I could totally see you being under Josh. Because at the time, Josh like represented everything that was like, oh, it's new, it's young, it's fancy, shiny object.
Well,
oh, he swings his whistle around his finger. Isn't that cute?
I got along. I always
love the passion he brings on the sideline.
Do your job!
Shut up, Josh.
Quit making up!
You know, I don't think Fangio even knows who I am. I think it's really just cool.
Are you kidding me?
You think he knows who I am?
1,000%
possible.
Fangio knows who you are.
Fangio, you know who I am?
No. Look, I can't guarantee that he knows your name.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
1,000%. He knows when he sees you, I hate you.
No.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Coach Reed said he wasn't all that aware of the current streak, the 11-game losing streak the Broncos had to the Chiefs, or in their case, the winning streak. Does that matter to you? Is that a point of conversation and motivation?
No.
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 No. I did ask him another question.
I really want you to trap him. Like ask him like a really nice stat. Like build up like his defense, the defensive stat line. Talk about how amazing they are. And then just a hard transition. And do you hate me?
And do you hate me?
No.
Just see what he says.
I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. The only thing,
just doing your job, right? That's why you like Josh. Because you don't care what he thinks. All you're doing is just doing your
job. Making stuff up. Yeah. No, Josh. Here's the deal with Josh. If we're just reflecting on this stupid stuff, Josh had torpedoed himself, Tyler, so much. There's no way any one particular person could possibly stand out near the end with Josh. I'm telling you, it was that bad. I mean, it was unreal. That was the infamous time that Josh goes into a room. He threatens all the assistant coaches with their job if they blab about this meeting to the media, and the media knows about that threat within 5 minutes of him saying it.
Yeah.
It was like that with Josh.
Yeah.
So nobody really stood out to Josh. You know, I talked to Josh at the Super Bowl years later, And he was interesting. He was reflective, and he said he just made all sorts of mistakes.
Yeah, I don't buy it because, you know what, his history tells me he's still going to do scumbag things. He took a Colts job, had an entire staff move there, quit their jobs, uproot their family, moved to Indianapolis, and then he said, oh, no, I changed my mind. Do I think he's changed his ways? No way, no how. I got so many Josh McDaniels stories. I could spend, like, 2 weeks telling him. But talking about the – like coaches and telling coaches not to pass things on. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite stories, Bobby Turner, such a great guy.
Yeah.
And he's, by the way, tough coach. People don't really understand that. That's a tough coach, man. He'll ride you. He's got a little Alex Gibbs in you. But guys absolutely love Bobby T. He was in a staff meeting with Josh, and Powerball was up to, like, I don't know, $100 million or something ridiculous. And Josh goes around the room and he says, all right, guys, Powerball's at $100 million. We're trying to build culture around here about the love of the game. You know, we're trying to find the right guys for mm-hmm. this building.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious. You know, I got a lot of guys in this building that I'm just not sure that they're in it for the right reasons.
Okay.
So I'm curious, if we go around this table right now, if you were to win the Powerball, $100 million.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Interesting.
What are you doing with $100 million?
Okay.
So they go around and everybody does the yes man thing and they're like, you know, I mean, if I won the $100 million, that'd be great. Like, yeah, I'd pay off my college. I'd pay the college education for my kids. But, you know, I'd show up to work because this is what I love. I love football.
Yeah.
And this is where I want to be. You know, I've got my dream. I wouldn't let the money change me.
Right.
Just man by man, he goes down. And Bobby T is the last guy that answers the question. And Bobby T stands up and he says, are you kidding me? I win $100 million. You'll never see me again. I'm moving to Vegas. You'll never see me again. And Josh legitimately chewed him out. He chewed him out for it.
Oh my God.
He was like, see, that's what's wrong. That's what I'm talking about. We've got guys in this building right now that they don't love the game. This is what's wrong with our team.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me.
Oh, I'm dead serious.
You know, it's funny with the question about who hates me the most. 8 coaches, right? Ask me. I'm kind of setting it up, but of all the 8 coaches, you know who I think is the best coach of all those 8?
The best coach?
The best coach out of all those 8.
That one's easy. Shanahan.
I don't think
then,
so.
Then I'd go Kubiak.
I think it's Kubiak. I think he's even better than Shanahan.
No, I mean, look, I got all the love in the world for Gary Kubiak and not but respect. I hate to even compare the two, but Shanahan's the godfather, dude.
All right, let's take Shanahan out of it.
He created it. Right, he created Gary Kubiak.
I don't even want to get that argument. Take Shanahan out of it. Kubiak, who hates me the most, is by far of those 7 after Shanahan. I think he's the best coach. He's the coach that I have the most respect for after covering this team for, you know, 14 years or whatever it's been. Yeah. So my point is, it doesn't matter what the coach thinks about me or reporters or the media. I don't care. I can look at it objectively, take however they feel about me totally out of it, and just say, is that the right man for the job?
Sure, sure.
And there's no doubt about it. Kubiak not only was the right man for the job then, he actually would be the right man for the job moving forward if they move on from Fangio. He'd be a much better option. It is crazy when we were talking about this to think that Gary's 60 years old. He's younger than Fangio right now. Why is Gary even done?
10 years younger than Pete Carroll.
10 years younger than Pete Carroll. Younger by a mile than Bill Belichick.
Would I be shocked if Gary Kubiak ended up in football again? Of course not. He's been down this route before. He's retired for health reasons or whatever reasons he has. He's retired and he's come back to the game. So, of course, I wouldn't be shocked. And hey, man, no argument whatsoever. Gary Kubiak is a phenomenal football coach. And I got to give Gary a lot of credit because, you know, I watched Mike Shanahan do something in 2012 that was I thought he would never do. And he had to draft Robert Griffin. And that wasn't his choice. That was the owner. Mike wanted to draft Kirk, and he did. But he had to develop a system that worked for Robert.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not Mike's system. Mike had a system that he had done for 40 years in the NFL, however long he'd been in the NFL. He'd done the same thing every single year. And he reinvented the wheel. He reinvented everything that we did for Robert. And I can imagine that was not an easy process for Mike. I mean, we brought in college consultants. We were watching zone read stuff from Baylor. Mm-hmm. We had college offensive line coaches that would be like on conference calls. It was an amazing process to see him reinvent the wheel. I thought that Mike would never, ever do that, but he did it. Not only did he do it, we were insanely successful with it. Well, Gary had one hell of a challenge on his hands the Super Bowl year because he's got Peyton Manning, and Gary was the same way as Mike. He's only done one thing his entire career. He's done West Coast offense. He's done old school, wide zone, put your foot in the ground, cut back, and play with your QB underneath center with a lot of play action passes. That's all he'd ever done. And for him to be able to find a way to evolve what was really amazing. I give Gary a lot of credit because the best coaches, they call a system that is built for the personnel that they have. And it wasn't easy. It took some time to mm-hmm. find that hybrid. Mm-hmm. But Gary did find that hybrid with Peyton.
Excuse me. Totally agree. It was complicated. It was tricky. There were crazy things he had to negotiate that year. And I do think he would have done things differently on the game that started this whole streak. I do. I don't think he would have played Peyton. Hindsight, of course, being 2020. Yeah. And if you tell me it wasn't just to break the record, okay, fine. I'm with you. I believe you. It felt like it was because of how poorly Peyton played and the fact that Gary said it was his mistake that he played Peyton. But okay, that's cool. What Gary did that year was remarkable. And you know what? Talk about looking back on things. How remarkable was the next year? When, yeah, okay, the Broncos didn't make the playoffs, but they went 9-7 with Trevor Siemian.
Yep.
And Gary had to be steadfast enough in his opinion and philosophy to actually go against his boss and his lifelong friend John Elway with what John Elway wanted to do, which was play Paxton Lynch. And Gary just put his foot down, and he was loyal to a fault with his assistant coaches. You know what, Tyler? I get it. There may be other options after Vic Fangio that aren't Gary Kubiak, but I would want to know why not Gary Kubiak when they make whatever decision they make, if they move on from Fangio. That's all. Yeah. Why not?
No, that's totally fair. Of course he would be an incredible candidate, and of course he would do a good job. I don't think that the NFL operates in a world in which they try to bring the band back together unless it's their band. So John Elway, that was his band. He could bring the band back together.
Okay.
And I know that George Payton's got history with Gary Kubiak. I get that.
Right.
I totally get that. So I'm sure he's got tremendous respect for Gary Kubiak. But it's different when he's back in Gary Kubiak's house. Now he's in Kubiak's house. Mm. It's not the other way around. And there's just this weird fear. There's this weird power struggle / fear of having somebody else come into your house and be more powerful than you are. Mm. And that's what it would be. If Gary Kubiak came in, he's the dude. George Payton, you're sort of irrelevant at that point.
Complicated. It's been a complicated history for the Denver Broncos. But it's been fun to be around, that's for sure. This winning streak, though, or losing streak, rather, sorry. Boy, that hasn't been fun.
Halloween's Eve, 2017. Monday Night Football at Arrowhead. The Broncos went into Kansas City with former Chiefs star Jamaal Charles looking to make an impact in his former home.
Hand off to Charles. Right tackle gives him a block, and that's where he goes over. He fumbles the ball. It's picked up by Peters. Running down the side, the 40. Chiefs down the sideline, the 30. Outside the numbers, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown!
The Broncos' house of horrors didn't relent from there, as Trevor Siemian would go on to throw three interceptions.
Siemian in the shotgun, drops back, being chased far side on the numbers. He throws the opposite way. The pass is picked off. It's picked off by Acker. Third interception, fifth turnover, and the Chiefs will take over with 6:23 to play.
It was certainly a trick and no treat for the Broncos as their losing streak to KC hit 4. Does the streak end Sunday night? It's the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Broncos, Chiefs, Arrowhead this Sunday.
Yeah, that's when Trevor was like ruined. He finished with a QBR of 5.6, mm-hmm. three interceptions, a couple fumbles from Broncos.
That was the one that I told you. He tossed one over the middle of the field that I was just like, that's it. Yeah. He's never going to be the same ever again. After a bonehead play like that, right. He was seeing ghosts. He'd been hammered. You know, the offensive line had been terrible for a couple games. And he threw one of the biggest bonehead passes. And that's why Trevor played, because he didn't do bonehead things.
Right.
And once Trevor starts doing bonehead things, I knew he would never be the same.
I love the fact that we kind of stumbled on the signature game for Bradley Chubb. Now, listen, it doesn't have to be Bradley Chubb, meaning if the Broncos can get a significant pass rush, hey, I mean, whatever. If Weatherly or Reed or Cooper or whatever has the game of their lives, Tyler, we'll take it, and it possibly could have the same impact. I think what stands out to people, rightfully so, is when are you going to have a moment from a guy who was picked fifth overall that you put so much into? Like, when is that going to happen?
Yeah, it's a totally fair, totally reasonable question. Unfortunately, Bradley didn't do much at all this weekend. Matter of fact, he didn't do anything at all. I watched him a lot. I didn't watch every single play start to finish with Bradley, but I watched a lot. He was hardly out there. Yeah. He was hardly making a difference. And the irony of it is we had a great day in pass rush. We had Ajim stepping up. Mm. You know, we had Stephen Weatherly stepping up.
Right.
We had guys that were in Justin Herbert's face all day long, and it was not our number five guy. Now he's coming off injury. And sure, I'll give him a little bit of credit. I'll give him a little bit of leeway. Maybe with a little bit of time, he could step up, and this could be the game. But I do know if you're going to win games like this, it takes superstars doing superstar things. And right. We need Bradley Chubb to play like a number five overall draft pick.
Listen, man, Vaughn not only – see, this is the legend of Vaughn. He had his – arguably his greatest game and the most important game ever. But Vaughn also had other really – impactful games, you know, before that and after that. I mean, Vaughn has had a litany of other, you know, game record type of games. Vaughn has done, and you know, I get it. Vaughn, it hasn't been the same impact in the recent years, and there's a million different reasons for it. But there's no doubt Vaughn a million times over justified him being selected at number two overall.
Oh, hell yeah.
Where has been any of those moments, never mind the collective amount of sacks.
His rookie year. So his rookie year, it was looking great. He came out, he had a hot start. What was it, 8 sacks, I think.
But what was the game? What was like the game that you remember, man, that was because of Bradley Chubb?
It's a fair question. I guess I don't have one that pops up at the top of my mind. It was a good year. It was a very encouraging year. It felt like, hey, if you can get 8 in your rookie year, well, you can get 12 the next year. Maybe that turns into 15. At some point, you're looking like Von Miller.
Yeah,
it just never compounded. The only thing that compounded were injuries.
The only thing I'm talking about, Tyler, are superstar moments.
No, I feel you.
I'm not talking
you.
About really good player moments. I'm talking about what just says I'm something special.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's even ragging on Bradley Chubb for not. What? By the way, the Zoakley Show is giving you a hard time about Bradley Chubb.
Oh yeah.
Did you hear that?
I did not. Well, Richie, what were they saying?
What? It's oh, because they think you're a Bradley Chubb apologist. Am I getting that right, Richie? It's basically that.
I've refused to call Bradley Chubb a bust. Maybe that's what they're referring to. Hey, man, Bradley Chubb's a dang good football player. I know that much. Has he been disappointing? Oh, hell yeah. Have we gotten anything worth even anything close that resembles a number five overall draft pick out of Bradley? No, of course we have not, and that's majorly disappointing. I just personally, I reserve the bust label for guys like Paxton that they weren't good at football. They're not good at what they do. And either they weren't good or they didn't care or there were off-the-field problems. Bradley Chubb, hey, he might not be a number five, but he's a damn good football player. He just can't stay healthy.
All right. You didn't hear them talking about you today?
I did not. No, oh, okay. No. I was getting a haircut. I look good, right?
You do look good. Maybe we can find that, because I wasn't exactly sure what they were talking about. Also, Mount Palumbus Speak, what's your questions? Throw it in there, 303-713-1043. That's next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son. A man of mythical and physical proportion. University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain. Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Columbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Columbus on this day?
We go to Denny and Firestone. Coached a lot of youth baseball up there in Firestone, Tyler. Let me tell you.
What's up, Denny? I'll
tell you all about Firestone. With all the injuries,
Denny ever whoop you?
Unlikely. It depends on the team, maybe. With all the injuries to the Broncos O-line lately, do you see any long-term potential from Muti, Miners, or even Quinn Bailey? Or are they just good enough to have as backups? Do we need to target O-line with a premium draft pick? I'm personally sick of free agent band-aid fixes.
Mount Columbus.
I'll touch on the last part of that just real quickly. It is interesting. Of all the positions that we feel like the Broncos have neglected, one position that they have not neglected, they've just gotten it wrong, is right tackle. They've invested a lot of money. Man, you go back to Donald Stevenson, to, what's the guy from the Raiders that we picked up that had the proposal in the middle of the season?
Mellon Watson.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then you gave the huge money to Juwan James. You've given a lot of contracts out to right tackle, and you just haven't gotten it right. So the Texans got a good point there. Let's go guy by guy here, though. Yeah, I see a lot of potential for a handful of these guys. Number one, with Quinn Miners, you've got a full-time legitimate starting right guard. That's who he is. He's your new starting right guard. He won't give that spot up until his contract either expires and he walks, or you give him a new deal and he's got that deal, that spot for a long, long time. He's incredibly talented, incredibly physical. It looks like the speed of the game is already slowing down for him. That was the big concern. Mentally, is he going to be there or not? And pass protection, he needs plenty of refinement, but there is so much potential with Quinn Miners. I'm really, really excited about him. Natani, I like that dude as well. I like that dude as well. He is really, really powerful. Similar players. They don't look the same, but he's strong as an ox. He can bench press 650 pounds, whatever it is. He needs to learn the art of dying slowly. Whereas Quinn, he's so big that when he gets beat, it's usually a slow death. Mm. Natani's got this big, physical, strong punch, and when he misses on it, sometimes he can miss very, very quickly. Quinn, probably not. I mean, I'm happy.
Really?
I'm happy.
Oh, Quinn Bailey.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm happy he got the game ball. He deserved it. It's a great story. That was a tough task for him this weekend. Maybe he could be a developmental swing guy for you. I don't see much as in terms of the future's starter goes. So the one spot that they do have to address is going to be right tackle. Do they do that in free agency? Do they do that in the draft? There's a lot of holes this team has to fill. You got edge rusher. You're going to have a corner need. You're probably going to need a running back. You need a right tackle. You need a QB.
Right.
You can't get them all in the draft, so you got to pick and choose.
I'll give you my draft prediction.
Okay.
I think they'll look into Watson, Wilson, Rodgers. None of them will happen.
All right.
I think they will try the best they can to re-sign Teddy, and I think they will. I think they'll take the best available edge rusher with their first overall pick.
Oh, interesting. They could. I mean, that's logical.
I think they will take a right tackle with their first second-round pick, and I think they'll take a quarterback with their second-round pick. It's not what I would do. It is right up Mike Evans' alley. I think George Payton is going to apply the khaki pants strategy to next year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what I would do, but I think that's what they're going to do.
I could see it. Your first couple picks have always got to be a combination of best player available at a position of need. Right. And the position of need, it applies in a big-time way, especially the first rounder. Pretty dang rare that you select somebody in the first round if you don't have a way to play him right away. We did it this year. It was pretty interesting. But that's very, very unusual. So edge rusher makes a lot of sense. That's a foundational piece.
Yep.
In my opinion, it goes QB, left tackle, edge rusher, corner. Those are the most important positions on your team in order, and that's the biggest need on our team right now.
Edge rusher.
And yeah. And then right tackle, that's a very significant need, and that's a very important position. So I could see it. Now, the only debate comes down to the QB. Totally believe that George Payton will trust his evaluations.
I do too.
Right?
I do too.
If he finds a guy that he likes in the second round, he says, hey, I'm good at what I do. This is what I've done my entire life. Mm-hmm. I evaluate people. By the way, the Vikings, didn't they take a second rounder this year?
Sure.
I know George Payton wasn't there, but didn't they take a second? Kellen Mond?
Okay. Yeah. Did they take Mond in the second round?
I'm forgetting what round he was specifically, but I think it was second. I think Kellen Mond was the second rounder.
I think you're right.
Maybe third. But his previous organization, his mentor, he did something like that. So, hey, man, I think your theory makes a lot of sense. Mond was third round.
Okay.
Still, very similar.
Very similar. And don't forget, the Broncos have 2 third-round picks as well. So could I see it happening in the third round? Again, not something I would do either. And is khaki pants land? Yes, I could see that. So I think that's what will happen. I think they'll try. They will try, but they'll fall short because the asking price for Rodgers, Wilson, Watson will just be too much. Don't forget, they whiffed on Stafford for that reason. I don't know why that philosophy would change. They'll get Teddy back. They'll be happy with that. And yeah, they'll get it some sort of developmental guy. Who knows who? I couldn't even tell you this year who's going to be available in the deep in the second or third round. I don't know. Because the top guys are all going to go in the first round. Every mock you look at, there's 4 or 5 quarterbacks this year in a weak year for quarterbacks being taken in the first round.
Yeah, because everybody needs a QB.
That's what happens. But the Broncos won't bite. They'll probably be drafting 16 or 17, something like that, if they finish 9-8, 8-9, you know, somewhere in that territory. And they'll be kind of out of the mix. Although what will probably happen when the draft comes that night, there probably will be a couple of quarterbacks that we've talked months about there, and they'll probably pass on them. And by the way,
maybe,
you know,
well, you should probably want that, because I'm going to guess the Broncos are going to be drafting somewhere around 18, 19, somewhere in that ballpark. And I know your magic number is 20 because it's playoffs. I don't get why that's the magic number.
Playoff team.
Okay. We're going to be right in that ballpark. So you should probably hope that they pass on him.
Yeah. And that means Vic Fangio and Pat Shermer are back.
Yeah, probably.
Pat Shermer. Yeah. Vic has one more year in his contract. Think about it. Vic has one more year in his contract. Vic likes Pat Shermer. Okay?
Oh, sure.
I don't know how Vic feels about...
If Vic's here, Pat's here.
Don't you think?
I do think. Yes.
Yeah. I think they're a
Tom
combo.
Tom McMahon will be the fall guy.
Tom McMahon is gone. Tom will be gone. Ed Donatell will be here. Zach Azani, if he doesn't get another job, he'll be here. I mean, everybody will be here. They'll bring the whole band back. If they can, and if they win on Sunday, forget it. I mean, this conversation's over. It would take such an epic collapse in the final.
Not epic, no. I mean, there'd be 5 games left, and I see at least 3 or 4 games in there that they could lose. So I don't think it'd be epic. Maybe unlikely. I'll give you unlikely.
The Nuggets just went into the second quarter with Orlando. They're killing them. 29-17. So the Nuggets are the Magic are terrible. They're 4-18 right now. So right on Nuggets. It looks like we're on our way to winning 2 in a row. Yeah, that's Marcus Howard getting significant playing time. 00 for the Nuggets. Gary Harris sucks, dude. Sorry.
He sucks.
32-17. The Nuggets are rolling already. I love it. And Jokic is, you know, doing Jokic things. Meanwhile, the Avalanche just dropped the puck with the Maple Leafs. Wow. We have a huge night of Denver sports with a Nuggets postgame show and an Avalanche postgame show right here on The Fan. Stay tuned for all of it. We're here for all of it. On Denver Sports Station 104.3, The Fan.
Getting you set for the biggest game since Super Bowl 50. Sunday night showdown between the Broncos and Chiefs at Arrowhead. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
up 37-25. Sean and Sandy with the post-game show later tonight, and also with the post-game show for the Avalanche, all happening here on The Fan. No score with the Avs and the Leafs. Kadri, how about that? Not getting suspended, being named one of the third star of the entire league. What a time he's had.
Way to stay on ice.
Way to go. All right, so as we deep dive into...
Way to not do anything illegal.
He's been incredible.
He has
been unbelievable. I mean, we're taking the Avalanche scarily a little for granted because they've been so unbelievable. Now I'm watching the Nuggets here. I'm just like, oh my gosh, what a breath of fresh air.
I know, it's fun, isn't it?
Jokic back.
It's so fantastic. I'm going to talk about it here in a second. But the Nuggets, all of a sudden, the vibes are back, you know, and it feels great.
It does. And, I do not know where the Serbian dance party is going to be tonight in Orlando. I just have a feeling there'll be one.
Well, Disney.
Disney World?
Yeah.
We'll go to Epcot. Disney. There's probably
Magic
Epcot.
Mountain.
No, there's... have you ever been to Epcot in Disney World?
I've been to Disney World. I've been to Epcot. Yeah.
Okay. It sounds like you're...
I mean, dude, Disney World is all a giant haze. You walk 25 miles in one day.
Uh-huh.
We hit the Animal Kingdom. We hit Disney World. We hit it all. We did it all, but it's all just a giant haze.
Did you have an adult night in Epcot?
No. You kidding me?
Dude, if I can give anybody a piece of advice or recommendation, do an adult night. Don't bring any kids. Go to Epcot at night. It's fantastic. Because they have different villages. So you go from like the best, you'll go to the German house. It'll be the best German sort of thing ever. Next is the Irish house. Next is the Swedish house. Next is the Spanish house. And dude, they're just nightclubs.
Nice.
They're just bars.
Solid.
But it's like the best Irish bar you've ever been to. The best Mexican restaurant you've ever been to. With the music and the food and the libations. Very adult. Don't bring your kids there. Party like a rock star in Epcot.
Okay, I
How
like
about
it.
That?
New plan.
I could not believe how much fun it was.
Leave the kids.
They don't have strip joints in Epcot. They don't do that.
Wow, we went there.
Well, I mean, but, you know, everything else is fantastic.
Okay. You go there with the wife? Is that state night for you?
Yeah, well, sure. They don't have it. The Leafs just scored, by the way. 1-0 Leafs over the Avalanche. All right, my big question for you before we get into game balls is overall, when you look at, we've really done a deep dive into the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Are they a good team?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Chiefs are a good team.
Are they a great team?
Certainly have the potential to be a great team. Now, they haven't strung enough together with both sides of the ball, or I guess all three phases, but in particular offense or defense. One or the other has let the team down a lot over the season, and so they haven't strung that together. So I can't say that they're a great team, but they've got Patrick Mahomes. They certainly have got the ability of getting hot in late December. Do I expect them to be making a run when it's all said and done? Yes, I do.
I'm trying to think of the other AFC team.
I mean, the good news, though, is that I couldn't say, as of today, this is a great team.
Right.
They're a good team. We've played good teams.
You know,
we've beaten a couple good teams. The Broncos are 10-point dogs, and that's for a reason, because the Chiefs are a better football team. But, hey, man, they're not great right now because it's not all clicking. If it clicks, they're great. If they're just good, hey, the Broncos have beat good teams previously.
Is there a great team in the AFC?
There's not a great team in the NFL. There's not. Tell me the best team in the NFL right now. Cardinals.
I'll say the Bucs.
All right. That's a fair answer. You got Tom Brady. Sure, right. that's a fair answer.
But it's hardly some sort of juggernaut team.
Right. It's a weird year, man. Weird year. There's a lot of good teams. There's very few great teams. There's nobody that you could dial it in and say you know they're going to be in the championship. But I'll tell you one team that we were talking about championship hopes with when the season all began, not in football, but in basketball, that was the Denver Nuggets. We had really, really high hopes for the Denver Nuggets and for the Colorado Avalanche. Nuggets have gone through a roller coaster of emotion, man. Start out, you've got high hopes. Michael Porter Jr. is just not playing. He gets hurt. You've got the weird thing going on there. He wasn't playing good basketball. Nikola was out. And then he comes back. I got to tell you what, D-Mac, my game ball today, it goes to the MVP of the National Basketball Association. That was hard for me to say. It goes to the MVP of the NBA, Nikola Jokic. Because, man, he came back last night. He got 24 points, 15 rebounds. He had 7 assists, looking like a stinking MVP. Tonight, the Nuggets are playing Orlando. They're in the second quarter. Denver Nuggets are up 42-32. What's Nikola Jokic doing? Well, he's just got, 8 rebounds. He's got 4 assists. He's got 7 points. The stat line isn't through the roof. But I know this. Nikola Jokic is back, and all of a sudden, all the bad vibes and feeling like the prisoner of the moment with the Nuggets, it's gone. And I feel good again. Are they championship worthy without MPJ? Maybe not. I don't know. But I do know this. They look good, and I'm going to enjoy the ride, dude. I'm going to enjoy the ride. D-Mac, it's been a lot of fun. That was fun today, figuring out the coaches that hated you the most. That was great. Richie and Kevin, always love you, boys. We got a great show coming up next. We got the Nick and Cecil show, which is hosted by Dan Jacobs.
Starring
Dan Jacobs, with special guests coming from Nick and Cecil checking in from old Chicago. We've also got the Nuggets and the Avalanche post game going on. That's all right here on The Fan coming up next.
What a night.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.